Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, April 20th, 2018. Speaking of the flip, you know, during this death cult ideology series, I've mentioned some quotes by Ezra Pound, the force that set Eustace Mullins on his investigation into the Library of Congress and beyond. But Ezra Pound said, "In our time, the curse is monetary illiteracy, just as inability to read plain print was the curse of earlier centuries." And I've made that point, reiterated that point. I believe in America we're functionally illiterate in a variety of ways, which makes the deception all the more, you know, it's like all of the quotes, you know, Goethe, for example, saying, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. None are more hopelessly illiterate than those who falsely believe that they're literate." But what constitutes literacy, truly? So in the same sort of sense, what Dave was talking about was a sort of legal illiteracy or a lawful illiteracy. And we need to return to literacy, as it were. Ezra Pound also, one of the other quotes I mentioned, "The technique of infamy is to invent two lies and to get you arguing heatedly over which one of them is true. The Fed should raise rates. The Fed should lower rates. Actually, the argument is, or the only discussion is, the Fed should be abolished. It's unconstitutional." So again, getting back to that point that those unprincipled among us should not be leading us anywhere, you know. Cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men, you know, using these engines to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. And, you know, if you read what these bad guys write, that's precisely what they're up to. They don't make any, they're not bashful about it. You know, I mean, read Richard N. Gardner's Hard Road to World Order from the CFR, Foreign Affairs Journal, back in 1974. And there are many, numerous other, you know, Sovereignty and Globalization, which disappeared recently, that Richard N. Haas wrote back in 2006, says the same thing. You know, it's the updated version of the same discussion some 32 years later. So they're not bashful about it. And so we need to, again, return to those, you know, start voting people, if voting still matters, and concentrating on local representative government, voting folks who are, you know, God-fearing men who hate unjust gain and are honest to office. Get rid of these. I mean, think about it. We live in a society that is more and more categorized by the cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men like William Devil Bill Rockefeller. And just real quick, we'll return to the phones here in a second, but think about how crazy this is. You know, just as an example, hopefully this will illustrate the point. I don't want to belabor it, but there was a big New York Times article yesterday about, you know, North Korea and this nuclear nonproliferation stuff and blah, 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 blah. And again, you know, unconstitutional, really kind of, you know, none of what is called foreign policy, it is all anathema in the, you know, the eyes of the founders, pretty much without exception, even the Hamiltonians, so to speak. Anyway, so as a condition of nuclear nonproliferation treaty, North Korea once again wants the United States to remove all 28,000 plus troops from South Korea. And, you know, so I think, I mean, like, that's so crazy. You know, and you don't hear from the Western press. The Western press says, you know, they've continually resisted efforts to shut down their nuclear proliferation program. Well, actually, that's not true. And like folks like Noam Chomsky have pointed out, at least two other times, 2005 and 2012, they've said, yes, we will agree to non-proliferation talks and maybe even a treaty if you guys back off a little bit. And the Western press will say, that's crazy. Actually, here's what's really crazy. One nation on earth, one nation spends more than the next nine highest in total defense spending, more than the entire rest of the world beyond those nine, 190 plus nations. One nation projects power more than any other around the country. The next closest is just maybe a handful. One nation has close to 1,000 bases, military bases around the country, surrounding countries like Iran, for example, bordering countries like North Korea, bordering countries like Russia that we hear vilified. Russia, Iran, and North Korea do not have military bases that border this one nation. One nation sponsors more terrorism than all others through various proxies. One nation has an agency that has a long and storied history of specializing in overthrowing foreign leaders and governments and installing puppet regimes. One nation's military-industrial complex created the ARPANET, which became the Internet, and that nation has now legalized the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, and by it, Operation Earnest Voice and the like, and with it, the taxing of its own people to fund said MIC's astroturfing and sock puppet campaigns, a.k.a. propaganda, a.k.a. lying, deception, and manipulation of not only foreign nations, but ostensibly its own people. And incidentally, said ARPANET is the cyber weapon of choice for the same nation and partners and proxies in attacking countries like Iran, the Stuxnet attack, for example. One nation has repeatedly and without incontrovertible justification or legal authority attacked foreign nations at will, especially in the post-9/11 era. One nation has used and continues to use more weapons banned by international convention than all other nations, weapons including depleted uranium, white phosphorus, and cluster bombs, which are considered war crimes by the rest of the world. Actually, by the same nation. It's just, you know, not when they do it, when that nation does it. One nation is more warmongering and terroristic than any other nation. You know, as Noam Chomsky puts it, America is the greatest terrorist threat the world faces. One nation has used nuclear weapons on another nation. And it's not Russia, Iran, or North Korea that has used nuclear weapons on another nation. And what's even more insane, this same nation had founding fathers that were very outspoken against this. What's even more insane, this same nation, its founding documents are considered by many some of the greatest in history. The Declaration of Independence, for example, considered by many the greatest document penned by the hand of man. And that, of course, setting aside the scriptures, which are God-breathed. And what's even more insane, all of this is in direct violation of the supreme law of the land of this nation, i.e. the Constitution. And yet, what's even more insane, untold numbers of useful idiots and cannon fodder swear various oaths to uphold, protect, defend that which most have never read and continue to violate ad infinitum. So the fact that North Korea wants some concession from the most warmongering, terrorist-sponsoring bully on the planet, undoubtedly to avoid further insanity at North Korea's expense, in that, the proper context, sounds pretty reasonable when you think about it. This is how insane things are, and it's time that it stop. You know, if you can't find a candidate that will comport their conduct of office to the Constitution, Declaration, Constitution, First Ten Amendments, then it's time to find another candidate, regardless of party affiliation. I think it's pretty much that simple, isn't it? Back to the phones. William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
Yeah, I'm glad you went to that presentation on gun rights. It's very interesting. I've taken three people in the last 4 or 5 years to the shooting range, who said they were anti-gun. I didn't have a lot of success in turning
really?
Their heads, but I did try to crack some really hard nuts. So I mean, I wasn't just taking someone a fence sitter. I was taking someone who was diametrically opposed to any gun ownership.
I think kudos to you for making the attempt, and kudos to them for being willing to do that. So did they actually, I mean, were
well,
they actually
one,
a shooter?
One's wife threw a fit in the morning because she was still traumatized by the Sandy Hook shootings, and he had to bail out. Another one came to the shooting range, and I, you know, you have to preface people and help them a little bit. You can't just put them in the car and take them out the shooting range. For one thing, that's kind of dangerous to ever,
right.
You know, let someone touch a gun who hasn't had some type of training.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also have to, you know, maybe go into your backyard if you got a yard big enough and show them, you know, that this thing's not going to hurt you, maybe, if you have sufficient training. And just get them used to the sound. But one guy did turn. And not only did he turn, but his wife met some people at the range and found out that women there had guns. And after about 2 years, she actually got her first revolver and at least went through the process of trying to get a concealed carry. This was in a state where, you know, concealed carries were more important. Here in Montana, a woman can actually carry a gun in her purse, you know, but in other places that would be totally illegal. So, you know, one no-show, one for, one against. So that's probably not too bad out of three attempts.
I would say I'm impressed. I mean, I say kudos to you and kudos to them, really. I mean, because I was serious, you know, listening to Geraldo Rivera and Dan Bongino, I think that's a good representation. I know that Geraldo has used firearms, so it's not like he's one of those voices that's weighing in ignorance, but they're diametrically opposed on the issue. And I know that there is that, there's something about it that's very divisive. And so, you know, I say that only to say that I know it's difficult. It's challenging, you know, and it's daunting, I think, for someone who really wants to respectfully reach out and say, hey, you know, maybe before you pass judgment, maybe, you know, maybe a little more information, maybe some personal experience is in order.
And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about, which was, you know, a few shows back, you read Washington's farewell address. And, you know, I've read that speech, you know, dozens of times before. But while you were reading it, it just was one of those moments where a light bulb went on. And I said to myself, you know, who is this guy explaining current events and conditions?
Yeah, exactly.
So clearly. You know,
exactly.
And he made this speech, you know, like 222 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that when he made that speech, he actually said in the speech, you know, that there were three things that he really hoped that these words would do. And when I reread those again, I was floored. You know, three things he said he hoped his words would do. One, moderate the fury of party spirit. I mean, when I read that before, it didn't hit me so hard. Isn't that, in a nutshell, what's rendering our government today so ineffectual, and what would appear to be, you know, like clinically schizophrenic, you know, besides being unbelievably dangerous,
right.
You know, the fury of party spirit. And then the second thing he said he hoped that it would warn against the mischief of foreign intrigue, you know. And again, you know, what better defines how our government, you know, has spent us into this unimaginable debt you know, that, that compromises our ability to take care of our own citizens here, and you know, compromises the promise of our children's prosperity, you know, and being able to live in a world, you know, open to unencumbered commerce. You know, that was another thing he talked about. But then the third thing he said, he wanted to guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism.
Yeah.
And again, how right on, you know, impostures of patriotism, you know, that, that today, you know, uses, as Kennedy said, covert or covet means, to convince us that patriotism is promoting unipolar dominance through economic and even, you know, now like nuclear threats against the whole world, you know. And, you know, intriguers who now trample upon the will of the people by claiming, like, it's no longer any need for evidence-based justice or foreign policy. Just allow us to put the head of the fair-minded CIA who believes in exceptionalism gives him, you know, complete independence from the restrictions of outdated constitutions. I mean, again, impostures of pretended patriotism. I mean, that's it's unbelievable how right on. I mean, I was like, you know, would this lead me to believe that these people who wrote
And if you, as you have remarked, you know, you look at that, you look at the list of indictments leveled against King George III, and you know the remarks of folks like George Washington in particular, and it's like a list, it's like a punch list that bad guys go through line by line. It's almost like they go line by line, you know.
Another thing that Washington said in that very speech, again, when I reread it, you know, for the umpteenth time, I was like, did I miss this? He said, even in our commercial policy, we should hold an equal and impartial hand, neither seeking or granting exclusive favors or preferences. And then, you know, talking about sanctions, you know, he said, and diffusing and diversifying by gentle means the streams of commerce.
Yeah, forcing nothing.
And then he said, you know, what the government should be doing is to help define the rights of our merchants. You know? And stop trying, you know, don't fall into, he said, the folly, you know, keeping
in one nation to look for disinterested favors from another. Yeah,
right. That's what's got us into this madness. Is that we are basically seeking. You know, when you start, why did he say, you know, don't try to seek, you know, one nation, you know, his disinterested favors from another. You know, what that means is if you don't acknowledge nations as, especially in governments of various nations, of being ill-disposed towards their own people and trying to even become more intriguing for dominance, then you don't understand foreign policy.
Yeah, exactly. I have a remark on that when we come back from the break, a very provocative and timely, poignant remark. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. So, just a quick note on that. It's interesting, you know. We're told today the Atlantic Council, the Globalist Atlantic Council, is meeting. You know, the meeting. Folks can find the. They televised it live, hour and 15 minutes. The video on YouTube is titled "Financial Inclusion: A Powerful Tool for Powerful Women." So I've talked about balkanization and a kind of subset of balkanization, which is beggar thy neighbor, the beggar thy neighbor approach, where you seek benefits for a disenfranchised minority at the expense of the majority. And the reverse of that, which is to punish the majority because of the sin of the minority. And those are two very instrumental tools that have been weaponized in the balkanization of societies everywhere, including our society. And so, obviously, you can see, you know, I mean, if we had a symposium on a powerful tool for powerful white men, people would, they would recoil in horror. But, you know, powerful tool for powerful women is perfectly fine. And so at this Atlantic Council symposium, they talked about how basically, you know, one of the talking points this morning was how only the global village can solve anyone's problem anywhere, which is, of course, a fallacy in a variety of ways. But from the video description, it says, in the context of the spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Bank Group, the Atlantic Council's Global Business and Economics Program invites you to join us at the Atlantic Council on Friday, April 20th. Join us in body snatcher fashion. Anyway, we're encouraged to believe this nonsense, and we hear from certain propaganda outlets, well, growing more and more, that, for example, you know, the way England does stuff is great. We hear about Australian gun control, which has huge problems. I will maybe talk about that, some specific, personal, so to speak, examples at some point where it's a huge failure. But, you know, speaking of England, people here should be appalled, offended, outraged when we hear, well, you know, the way England does anything is something you should immediately be horrified when someone says that, because of history. And with regard to gun control, and again, with the Battle of Lexington and Concord in particular view, we should be horrified, because that was the gun grab by the same folks. And so 243 years later, not much has changed in that discussion. So it turns out Congressman Larry McDonald was right. The complexity of social organization does not change. Technology advances, but the complexities of politics do not change much. The basic political problems confronting the framers of the Constitution were not much different. And he said, perhaps more so then, because they were striking off into dangerous unknown, uncharted waters, whereas all we need to do is return to the fine highway we were once on. And I would argue that we need to do that. What do you think, William?
Well, you know, while all the serious stuff was going down, and everybody's attention was turned to that, I always say that when things like that grab our attention so completely, I always turn around, look over my shoulder, and sort of see what else is going on. And what was interesting was, after that attack, Lord Rothschild, you know, who is one of the deans of the English Central Bank in London, he was saying, you know, look, this is just a blip. You know, nothing really to get upset about. There was a problem. We took care of it. And he said, well, if you read between the lines, what he was saying is, why you divide yourself, you know, up into, you know, this or that side, about these orchestrated deceptions that we've produced. We're going about business, and our business is not your business. And, what's interesting is that if you watch what the banking people are doing, the Soroses, he made a big thing about how he wasn't going to get into cryptocurrency, the Rothschilds said they were, stupid to get into cryptocurrency. Our central banks here were saying it's cryptocurrency is not where to go. And yet, if you look at in the last 3 weeks, all three of those, through other subsidiaries, are going full in on cryptocurrency technology. You know, it's like nothing to see here, folks. They're taking the next step.
Yeah, another example of the Streisand effect. And who's going to believe liars and deceivers and intriguers anyway? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel, Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Return to buy the tincture in the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, April 20th, 2018. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, speaking of Soros, I mean, that kind of reminds me of his remarks at the World Economic Forum, which included the cryptocurrency stuff. And, you know, we talked about that at the time. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, that move and, you know, in Streisand effect sort of telegraphed, you could argue the way that they, you know, said, like you said, nothing to see here. You know, I would never do that. And then they turn around and do it shortly thereafter.
And, you know, I'd like to leave you with I don't usually talk about my dreams because, you know, I've got enough people talking behind my back. It's usually pretty strange, yeah. But you know, there I was in Congress, and it was Pompeo's. I was questioning Pompeo during his confirmation hearing, and I was, you know, questioning him about this exceptionalism that he seems to believe should be the order of the day, and I was waxing very eloquent, and I was very proud of myself, and he immediately jumped up from behind his table, and all these little miniature cruise missiles fell out of his pocket and stuff. And he pointed his finger at me, you know, and in rage, and said, "If it doesn't fit, you must acquit."
Nice.
It was
Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, you know, in Johnny Cochran fashion. That's how our State Department is going to be run. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. I mean, yeah. We don't have any other options. So I took away from that I pr- probably should use fewer jalapenos in my stir fry, but before I go to bed. But I mean, it just shows, you know, just how totally binary and crazy our discussions have become. It's either this or that. You know, you're either with us or you're with the terrorist. And, you know, we've got to do something. And I think, you know, when you have those gun rallies, even if you're not allowed to carry any guns at it.
It turns out you are, which is encouraging.
Yeah, but and that, you know, if nothing else, just getting that message out, like, well, we were told, but we were misinformed. And that type of reinforming ourselves of the rights that we do have and actually standing up and making sure that we make a stand for that. I mean, it's not only saying, oh, that's good. You actually have to do a demonstration.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, I will confess, I found myself going, ah, see, I got gotcha too. Because one of the things that Chuck Baldwin said was, you know, we all, and he said, I included, you know, we all labored under that presumption. We all presumed that was the case because that was what we were told. But, you know, we're supposed to trust but verify. And we didn't verify, basically, in my words. And I would say I didn't either. I, you know, so shame on me too. And so, again, that's the call to eternal vigilance to all of us.
So it also demonstrates that, you know, we are under a full court press of misinformation. And it really taxes our resources to have to nail down every misinformation. I mean, disinformation. You know, that's why we have to work together. That's why we need to... you know our neighbors, even though, you know, I'm a little afraid of a few of my neighbors, but at least if I make the effort, I'm sure they're a little bit afraid of me, at least make the effort to say hello and to know that actually I live here. I don't live someplace else. I don't live in an imaginary international, you know, honor diversity realm. I, you know, I live right
with dual citizenship and all of that fun stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope that dream doesn't give anybody any bad dreams, but it certainly was an eye-opener at the intense call to arms, you know?
Yeah.
Arms not only in terms of firearms, but arms of joining together and holding these people accountable for their misinformation.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Well said. Thank you, William. I appreciate it, as always. We can do that, and we should do that. And Andrew Jackson's farewell address, I think, is, again, another one of those instrumental reads. You know, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. When did the engines of destruction rev into high gear? Well, I would argue December, 23rd, 1913, in the dead of night, under the cloak of secrecy, you know, and then all of a sudden you have all of this, you know, and Jefferson said the forehorse of this frightful train is public debt. And what greater public debt than the interest on the currency that is specious currency, by the way, that is created and has debt assigned to every FRN. Anyway, non-secular sort of, you know, the fallacies that are put before us. So the, you know, the issue of slavery, I alluded to Anthony Johnson, you know, and we live longer now, right? Even though Anthony Johnson lived to be 7 years old. But from the Wikipedia entry under biography, late life, Anthony Johnson entry. Johnson was captured in his native Angola by an enemy tribe and sold to Arab slave traders. Oh, Arab slave traders. Interesting. He was eventually sold as an indentured servant to a merchant working for the Virginia Company. Ah, the Virginia Company. What of that history? So the short version of this point is just that, once again, it's layers of deception that have been created by the same people, essentially, you know, the same folks who bought Anthony Johnson as an indentured servant. And that's a very, very grossly oversimplified point, but I'm going to leave it at that. So from Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, the, you know, quote, Saint Simon even predicted those who would not, who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle. He said, this is what the technocrats do, the planners, the philosopher kings. Anyway, Hayek opens Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, which is, you know, a pejorative, with the quote by Holdren, what has always made the state a hell on earth has been precisely what man has tried to make it, has been precisely that man has tried to make it his heaven. And that's what these guys do. And the Bible talks about that. You know, the kings of the earth, merchants of the earth, these guys that want, you know, it's a problem. The rest of us are sojourners, and we understand that. Anyway, back to the phones we go. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, whoops. Oh, my gosh. My phone cord was tangled up there. Are you still there?
Hey, Mike.
All right.
Yep,
I just
go ahead.
My phone over. Tried to grab the phone so quick that it fell off the counter. Anyway, I don't remember exactly how the what you were talking about an hour ago that inspired me to call in. You know, but we've got a basic issue here. It's an uphill battle of perception amongst the people that we are supposed to have a democracy, and that is the bane, just like standing armies were considered to be a direct threat to the existence of our American experiment in self-government.
Right.
Democracy is indispensable for those that are out to destroy the basic concepts that the government doesn't grant us our rights. And we can't, you know, the duped masses, this is the way I like to think of it, the duped majority that has been brainwashed or programmed by the mass media that is now, you know, some plaything of billionaires and their whatever their agenda might be, and you know, less than probably 300 executives that can determine the editorial policy for 90% of the media, the duped masses are prevented from the legitimate government from voting away their own rights.
Yeah.
You know, you go back and read the founding documents, like in particular, and it seems like even court rulings that amplify this are being ignored. And of course, they try to, whenever something fits their agenda, oh, the court's opinion stands firm, you know. But when the court's opinions as an advisory opinion, oh, well, you know, we're going to just ignore that and pretend they didn't rule that way. And the key, one of the key cases of the last 25 years is U.S. versus Lopez, which struck down 50 years of Commerce Clause abuse by the federal government. And that's being really ignored, except in some academic circles. You can find, you know, thesis papers that's been written about it and how that was meant, that was going to completely change the abuse of the Commerce Clause.
Well, but one of the points that was made last night at the, you know, pro Second Amendment rally I spoke of in the first hour, was, it's a long discussion, but, you know, folks have touched on it. The abuse and intrigue of the judicial branch and kind of its usurpation and the corruption of the legal system, and that's a big discussion. And then the place that you go back to primarily.
I can boil it down really quickly.
Well, hold on. Let me finish this point first.
Right.
You go back to William Willoughby in his Principles of Judicial Administration, and basically that was sort of the track that was laid to conscript the judicial branch to administrative intrigue. And that's, again, a gross oversimplification. But what these guys were talking about last night, and I want to bring all of this back. You know, what you're saying reminds me of what William's point was. And I want to bring all of this back at the end of the broadcast to, we need to be acquainted with the authentic you know. We'll come back to that. But the point that was made last night, which is a great point, was the power of impeachment is rests in the Congress. And one of the points, just to, you know, shorten it, that was made was a gentleman said, you know, if it, you know, we hear that legal interpretation, you know, and that nine justices can basically determine whatever, and they interpret the Constitution and this and that. And this guy said, if they, if those decisions do not comport with the Constitution in its orthodoxy, then, you know, they're most people think that justices, Supreme Court justices, serve for life, but he said they serve at the
whim.
Well, they serve at the pleasure of the American people, and only as long as they exhibit good behavior in their position of office. And so if their decisions are not comporting with the Constitution, then it's time to talk about impeachment.
Well, just about, just like with the president, though, we need to just skip right over impeachment and push for removal. Because just because
when we found out with
if we found out with Clinton that impeachment doesn't mean anything. If you don't resign, you don't resign. Nixon didn't have to resign. Johnson didn't have to resign.
Yep.
Johnson, you know, who was tricked into allowing the 14th Amendment to happen. But the thing that and it's kind of left me here. The thing that I was going to point out, though, is, you know, in our founding documents in Kentucky.
Going back to the 90s, you said? Make it real simple.
In the 1990s, Jack Kevorkian was doing things that there was no statute for, a physician-assisted suicide. So, and this is one of the things that they love to ignore, is that you cannot get them to grant you a bill of particulars in court. They won't tell you how the court is arraigned. They won't tell you whether or not you're being charged with an actual law or some kind of regulation or whatever. If you want to see the legislative record so you can enter an intelligent plea, they don't want you to know all that. But Jack Kevorkian was doing things they didn't have a statute for, so they arraigned the court as a judicial branch, not a judicial department, administrative venue, in, I think, Wisconsin or Minnesota. It actually made national news because, you know, NPR and others were talking about they don't have a statute for this, so they had to convene the court in common law. The entire government is occupying the legitimate government.
You are going, I mean, I wonder how many folks, I think this audience is probably
savvy to it. Some.
Yeah, they probably understand, but I mean, for the average, like the unwashed, they just probably have no idea what you're talking about. But it's absolutely great points, great points. And
well, read your state constitutions and wonder why that's being ignored, because those principles are laid down there, or they couldn't have joined the union. Those basic rights that are not granted by government are enshrined, and in a Kentucky's constitution, they said, we declare in bold, big letters, like yelling, it's considered yelling now, that these principles cannot be changed. The duped masses cannot vote them away.
Exactly.
In democracy.
And there are some interesting clues that you see. Gosh, what was the one I can't think of? It was a CRS report that they mentioned. You know, we think of which one was it? It was I can't remember the CRS report, but I think it was the
CRS. What does that stand for? I can't remember.
Congressional Research Service. One of the reports mentioned, which one is it? And it's one of the pivotal ones. But
all the national emergencies we're under 30 national emergencies.
Yeah,
government's occupied by substitute government.
No, it was concerning the language of due process of law, which would make folks think of the Fifth Amendment. There was ambiguity. Speaking of due process, you know, no one shall be deprived of, you know, life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and you think, okay, Fifth Amendment. No, actually, they were citing the 14th Amendment, which gets to the point that you're making and that usurpation. Another clue recently was in Senator Tim Kaine's letter to Secretary Tillerson concerning last April's the legal basis, he said, for the April 6, 2017 U.S. airstrikes in Syria. And
you're out of time, aren't you?
Next segment. I'll clarify that point. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these...
When you were here before... Couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, April 20th, 2018. And here is the, you know, the razor's edge of the front line of the battle. This isn't the CRS report I was thinking of, but this, you know, is emblematic of the issue. CRS report R40820, titled The Second Amendment and Incorporation, an overview of recent appellate cases. I mean, that really just kind of incorporates all three of the things that Mike and I were just discussing. But the press release I was talking about, Tim Kaine's letter to Secretary of State Rex Tillerson concerning the legal basis for the April 6, 2017 airstrikes in Syria, and now we've gone a year beyond in another set of airstrikes, again without justification. But from Tim Kaine's letter, he wrote, "The administration's responses, if received at all, have been insufficient. This includes your response." So Tim Kaine is quoting Tillerson's office response previously. He says, this includes your response that, quote, the April 6 U.S. missile strike on Sharet airfield in Syria was not based on the authority of the statutory authorizations for use of military force that we have been discussing at this hearing. The president authorized that strike pursuant to his power under Article 2 of the Constitution as commander-in-chief and chief executive to use this sort of military force overseas to defend important U.S. national interests," end quote, which is an interesting distinction. So you hear statutory, and I can tell you, as I've said before on broadcast, that I've been in court and I've heard a judge say to a defendant, "You can," she said, "I'm not prepared. I'd like a continuance." And he said, "I'm willing to grant you a continuance on the condition that you waive your right to a speedy trial." And she said, "I'm not willing to waive any of my rights." They went back and forth, and a public defender heard this and stepped in and said, "Your Honor, I think I understand what's going on." They went out for a brief recess, came back in, and he said, "While she is adamant in preserving her constitutional right to a speedy trial, she is willing to forfeit her statutory right to a speedy trial." And I submit to the audience, it is imperative to understand the difference. Mike? I guess we lost Mike. Okay, Mike, I appreciate your call. I hope that you know, kind of underscored or punctuated what you were saying. And folks, this is the bottom line. Go back to the authentic. Concern yourselves with that first. The Constitution, Declaration, Bill of Rights, very brief. Study it, learn it, become intimately familiar. And when we go to the polls, Exodus 18:21, "You shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens." As always, I hope it was informative. I hope you have a great weekend. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.